107.5 FM, W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Los Angeles County, federal and local authorities say they've arrested a Florida man for starting the fire that became the devastating Palisades fire. U.S. Attorney Bill LaSalle.
We are announcing the arrest of 29-year-old Jonathan Rindernecht for igniting a fire that ultimately burned down the Palisades earlier this year, killing 12 people, destroying more than 6,800 structures, both homes and businesses, and damaging over 1,000 more buildings.
Police say the fire was set January 1st. LA fire crews had put it out, but it was whipped up by Santa Ana winds by January 7th. Former FBI Director James Comey entering a plea of not guilty today at his arraignment hearing. He's charged with lying to Congress during testimony in 2020 related to the leak of information in the Hillary Clinton emails. The Senate holding a vote today on a measure to end the shutdown. It's expected to fail. That shutdown now entering its second week. This is ABC News.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.5 WLAK.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs have announced nearly $2 million in grant funding for two veteran memorial cemeteries. The grant funding comes from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs Veterans Cemetery Grants Program, which is meant to help upgrade facilities, expand capacity, and improve accessibility at veteran cemeteries. The Central Wisconsin Veterans Memorial Cemetery in King and the Southern Wisconsin Veterans Memorial Cemetery in Union Grove will each receive a portion of the grant funding. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced he will seek re-election rather than run for governor in the 2026 election. Attorney General Call announced his decision on Tuesday, saying it's critical that the state continue to have an attorney general who will stand up for our freedoms and the rule of law. Since President Donald Trump returned to office in January, Call has joined over two dozen multi-state lawsuits challenging federal actions. He's currently in his second term as attorney general after defeating incumbent Republican Brad Schimmel in 2018. City of Superior Mayor Jim Payne officially unveiled his 2026 budget proposal on Tuesday. Mayor Payne's budget proposal includes hiring more law enforcement staff and mental health workers, as well as constructing a new fire hall on the north side of the city. While spending on those services will increase, Mayor Payne also assured residents that the city's property tax levy will actually see about a 1.5% decrease. He credited strong fiscal management for that decrease, noting the city's debt has dropped significantly over recent years. The Downtown Hayward Business Improvement District is inviting area residents to their annual Fall Sip and Shop event this week. The event will be held on Thursday from noon to 7 p.m., giving area residents a chance to explore the downtown area and connect with new businesses. Residents can also get a Sip and Shop passport, and if they receive at least 10 merchant signatures on the passport, they can enter to win various prizes during the finale event at Angler's Bar and Grill. The passport can be downloaded online or picked up at the event. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Game 3, Brewers and Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers playing the Cubs at Wrigley Field. First pitch at 4:08 this afternoon. It'll be Brewers pitcher Quinn Priester's first career start in the postseason.
And yeah, man, I'm going to be fired up. I'm already starting to feel that anxious, that good nerves. And man, I'm fired up.
What's it like for the right-hander who just turned 25 years old? Manager Pat Murphy was asked.
Hey, Murph, with Quinn getting the start, just what's impressed you about his growth this entire season?
Yeah, how rapid it's been. This guy went from, you know, being a Triple-A pitcher for the last couple of years to emerging as a real presence, giving his team a chance very often. And just to see that happen right before your eyes, and it's pretty special. He's still a young pitcher.
NBA, ESPN.com again reporting the Bucks engaged in trade talks that could have sent Giannis to the Knicks. The Bucks say they've always kept in close contact with Giannis in the offseason. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
It is going to be sunny today with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. There could be a few spots that get a little frost, especially further north, but lows generally mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 41.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones?
Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by Emily Cherniak, founder and executive director of New Politics, an organization designed to help build the Democratic pipeline of candidates who are truly ready to lead.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome to the second hour of our program. On the line with us is our buddy Dean Obidala, the host of the Dean Obidala Show, weekdays 6 to 9 p.m. right here on SiriusXM Progress Radio Channel 127. He's got an amazing Substack newsletter, which I got my edition yesterday, and it provoked me to say, hey, we got to get Dean on the show and talk about this. It's called the Dean's Report. Go over to Substack.com and just plug in Dean's Report or Dean Obidala. O-B-E-I-D-A-L-L-A-H, and or just deanobidala.substack.com, which is the actual official URL. Dean Obidala on Blue Sky and SiriusXM. Well, that's SiriusXM. So, Dean, welcome back. Your newsletter yesterday was just mind-blowing. Pam Bondi just reminded us that she's part of the Jeffrey Epstein cover-up. You know, Eric Swalwell yesterday came out and said that he thinks that Republicans are starting to, the whole Republican wall on behalf of Trump in the House and Senate, or at least in the House, is starting to crack with Marjorie Taylor Greene coming out here. And Thomas Massey and Nancy Mace joining together with Democrats with Ro Khanna to say, hey, wait a minute, we want to see those files. And then the way that she was just lying about this yesterday, what the hell is going on here?
I agree. Thanks for having me on. And the newsletter I wrote yesterday, it must have resonated because it has about 2,500 likes in less than 12 or 14 hours, which I'm not bragging. I'm stunned by that.
Yeah.
So I'm glad people are sharing and people are liking it. My point was, first of all, Pam Bondi, without any kind of shading or opinion here, was so defensive, so evasive. And to me, and anyone who's worked in the law, those are what prosecutors call consciousness of guilt. She is being evasive because she is guilty, and not guilty of being involved in the Epstein sex ring, but being involved in the Epstein cover-up. And that's why she lashed out against Democrats. She would not give yes or no answers or straight answers to anything. And even when Republican Senator John Kennedy asked her questions about Howard Lutnick, who the Secretary of Commerce last week said Jeffrey Epstein was the biggest blackmailer ever. That's what he said last week. This is Trump's current Secretary of Commerce. She said she wouldn't answer it directly. It was unbelievable to see this masterclass in guilt. So what we have is a woman who's been engaged in a longtime cover-up for Donald Trump, and finally some people pressed her. And you know, we could talk about it a little bit more going back to when she was AG of Florida. That's when the cover-up began.
Yeah, well, she was AG of Florida for, what, 8 years, something like that? And that was during the time that Jeffrey Epstein was raping young girls right there in Florida, right under her nose.
Exactly. From 2011 to 2019, Pam Bondi was the Attorney General of Florida. In that time, as I wrote about in an article a few months ago, that she made prosecuting child sex predators one of her top things. She had numerous press conferences. We arrested these people. We work with these law enforcement. We got them. She never investigated Jeffrey Epstein. And we know the sex ring was still going on in those years because Trump's own DOJ in 2020, after Epstein killed himself, they did a report on the suicide, but also on Epstein, and talked about that after he got out of prison in 2008, he went back to his lifestyle and he continued to abuse young girls, children, and women. That's happening right in that state. There's no way she didn't know. She was protecting people in power. One of them was probably Trump. There could have been Democrats as well, let's be blunt, who were involved in the trafficking of women or raping the children. So whoever was involved should be prosecuted. But she's been a longtime activist in Donald Trump's cover-up and Jeffrey Epstein's cover-up, and I think that's partly why she got hired for this job as AG.
Right, her and Matt Gaetz before her, you know, when he tried to get Matt Gaetz in there. Matt Gaetz, who himself had been accused of child sex trafficking. I'm curious, you're an attorney, Dean, and you know how prosecutors work, and I take your opinions very, very seriously on this. John Mitchell was Richard Nixon's attorney general. John Mitchell spent months, some of the last months of his life, in prison because of his efforts to cover up Richard Nixon's crime with regard to Watergate. Do you think that Pam Bondi has legal liability here? And might this be one of the reasons why she's participating in these efforts to militarize our cities that Governor Pritzker says are preparation to basically lock down the 2026 elections?
I think that the fact the Supreme Court last year said that the president has absolute immunity for any actions they take, which are enumerated in the Constitution, which simply means spelled out in writing in the Constitution, means he can give her a pardon. He can give everybody, Stephen Miller and everyone, and they know that. So they feel that they have the same shield, that they can do anything they want, that they're above the law. And Donald Trump will 100% pardon them the same way he pardoned the January 6th terrorists who brutally beat up police officers and attacked the Capitol. I think that's what's going on. John Mitchell was not pardoned by Richard Nixon. If Richard Nixon pardoned him, he would not have gone to jail. Donald Trump will pardon everyone involved in this administration. Are there state crimes she's committed that are not affected by a pardon? A pardon by a president only affects federal crimes, not state. We will see in time if she's committed any state crimes. But they believe that they are just as lawless, just as above the law as Donald Trump. Thank the GOP horrific Supreme Court, which is why in 2028, Democrats must make reforming this corrupt Supreme Court one of the top issues.
Yeah, I'm absolutely with you. What are your thoughts on Eric Swalwell's opinion that there are cracks now forming in the Republican coalition?
I like Eric Swalwell, but there's only three cracks so far. Only three Republicans are joined the discharge petition. If a fourth one would have joined, they would have the 218 votes needed to force the vote. And so we're waiting for Speaker Johnson to swear in the daughter of the late member of Congress, who she just won her election in Arizona.
Adelita Grijalva.
He won't swear her in because that gets him the 218. So now he has a shutdown as cover. But when the shutdown is over, will he swear her in or will he continue? And also, is this coming attractions of after we win the midterm of what's going to happen then in terms of not swearing in Democrats who won elections, which is another concern I have. And the lawyers have to be ready for that. I'm sure they will be. I'm not saying anything that's like shocking. We all know where this is going. Trump will try not to allow the swearing in of Democrats who win. He'll say they got elected by fraud and it should be held up because he knows the minute the Democrats get the House, it's impeachment time. It's oversight time. We're going to see Pam Bondi and others dragged before court to the committees under subpoena. And they're going to have to answer questions more directly.
Yeah. And if you think that is out there, consider what Mitch McConnell did with two Supreme Court justices.
Look what Donald Trump did in 2020. He tried to overturn an election that Joe Biden won. Yeah. The courts found nothing in his favor, nothing. And he tried to overturn the election. And the more Trump does, Tom, that's illegal now, and the more oppressive and the more repressive, the more he has an incentive to stay in power forever. Because he doesn't want to test the idea, can he self-pardon? He doesn't want to test the idea of being tried and prosecuted in state court action or even by The Hague for international crimes involving migrants in nations like El Salvador, which are signatories.
Or off the coast of Venezuela, yeah.
Right, so exactly, Venezuela, off the coast there. If you do research on it, which I did, the ICC says they have jurisdiction off the coast of those countries, and Venezuela is a signator. So Donald Trump, I mean, that's a story, Tom, that deserves so much more coverage. Donald Trump is literally, without any evidence, saying these people are narco-terrorists and killing them 2,500 miles from our shoreline. That's not the penalty in America for dealing drugs. You at least get a trial and then you go to jail. You're not like disappeared by a missile like it's a video game. These are real people. We have no idea. And if you read BBC and international publications, they're talking about how lawless the Trump regime is here. And we're in a bubble because corporate media sucks so bad they don't cover that with the robustness that it deserves. It is very frightening what Trump is doing there.
Speaking of Lawless, I've been trying to game out what would happen if Pritzker or, Kotek, our governor here in Oregon, or Gavin Newsom down in California, were to arrest ICE officers for kidnapping, you know, when they snatch people with just these administrative warrants. These are not, these are not Fourth Amendment warrants. They're not constitutional warrants. When they abuse people, here in Portland, there was an 83-year-old couple. They're both 83. He's a Vietnam vet. They were standing on the sidewalk in front of the ICE building. It was completely peaceful. Nobody was doing anything. People were bringing up flowers and putting them on the sidewalk in front of the ICE building. And he had a sign, and she had a sign, and this ICE guy comes out and just knocks them both to the ground. She ended up with a concussion. Her head was all broken open and bleeding all over the place. They had to take her to the hospital. Completely unprovoked. That's assault. I mean, I'm thinking, okay, so, you know, the governor or the mayor, Mayor Wilson of Portland or the chief of police or whatever says, okay, we're going to arrest that guy. Well, first of all, we don't know who he is because he's masked and he doesn't have a name badge on and he ran back inside the building after he assaulted her. Secondly, if he had been snatched at that moment, what happens? What happens if, a dozen ICE guys come out with fully automatic weapons and start pointing them at the Portland police? And what happens if the Portland police shoot back? And then what happens if, Donald Trump says, okay, that's it, now bring in the army? I mean, where does this end? What are your thoughts on the legality and the political and constitutional practicality of governors standing up to lawlessness on the part of this federal agency?
That's too many questions. I'm going to send you a bill for this. This takes a lot of research.
We have a minute and a half to the hard break.
All right, and the big thing is the people who got hurt should file a complaint with the police against ICE officers. If you don't know what it is, you can tell them and they should begin an investigation. There is some immunity for federal officers in doing things consistent with their job, just like the police have certain immunities.
Right, qualified immunity.
So they're going to bump up against each other, but you shouldn't give them a get-out-of-jail-free card. Let it be litigated in the court. Let someone be charged. Let them get a lawyer. Let them post bail and let it be tried. And if it gets dismissed, it gets dismissed. If you don't do anything, though, they're going to do more of it. So I think you take individuals in that situation. I think the AG should direct an investigation and begin an investigation in your state. There is certain immunity. There's no doubt about it. But let it be litigated in a court, not just going, well, there's some immunity. We can't do anything. They're not going to change their conduct. Our criminal justice system is predicated on two things. It is punishment and deterrence.
How do you arrest an ICE officer?
You have the police get an indictment, a grand
but
jury.
They don't even know his name.
First of all, you sign the
complaint. I mean, this is why the Klan wore hoods,
right,
Dean,
it begins
back
an investigation.
In the day.
Right, and you
so
begin
they wouldn't
an
be
investigation.
Accountable.
You can do civil lawsuits against ICE. That's one thing. You do a criminal. They should go to the police and file a complaint. Let the police begin investigation. They describe where it happened. They describe the assailant in terms of height, weight. All the time, we don't know the identity of criminals. Sure. People get bugged every day. We don't know no one goes, my name's Joe Smith. I'm going to punch you in the face. They don't say their name. That's what police work does. You describe the assailant to the police, where it happened, and let the police begin to do their job. And let ICE invoke immunity and let it be litigated. Don't make their life easy. Use every legal means and every legal weapon available to hold them accountable. That's what we must do.
I get it. The great Dean Obidala, host of the Dean Obidala Show, 6 to 9 p.m. right here on Sirius XM. Thanks, Dean.
Thanks, Tom. Nice seeing you.
Always great having you with us. And check out Dean's newsletter, The Dean's Report. It's free and it's brilliant.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And it's on Substack. 18 minutes past the hour. Back with more of the news of the day and your call. Stay with us. If you snore and your partner hasn't moved to another room yet, congratulations. You've either found true love or your partner has no other place to go. Hey, let's talk about what your partner really wants in bed. Silence. If you want to actually impress them in bed, stop keeping them awake from your snoring and give them 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep. Zepa is the only FDA-approved and patented anti-snoring solution invented by a leading sleep doctor that stops snoring at the source. Zepa has a 91% success rate backed by a 91-night sleep guarantee. For a limited time, go to Zipa.com and use the code TOM, T-H-O-M, or text TOM to 511-511 and get the absolute best solution guaranteed to stop your snoring with the Happy Z-Pack and save over 24% off. Plus, Zipa will donate $10 to breast cancer research. Visit ZYPPAH.com, use the code TOM, or text TOM to 511-511 and save over 24% with the Happy Z-Pack and start improving your sleep health today. Remember, Zipa is Happy Z spelled backwards. Text fees may apply.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-859-3220. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-859-3220. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-859-3220 or biglou.com.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger public address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run, Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Threshold.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. So I knew we all have two ages, you know, our actual age and our body's internal biological age. But what I didn't know is that I've likely lowered my biological age without even knowing. Here's the thing. Because Americans eat so many processed foods and not enough fruit and veggies, many, perhaps most, are 10-plus years older on the inside than their actual age. They're ticking time bombs. A major university study suggests how to slow aging and diffuse that biological time bomb. Participants slowed their aging by drinking Field of Greens. That's it. They didn't change their eating, drinking, or exercise. Just Field of Greens. When I drink Field of Greens, I certainly get an energy boost. Each fruit and vegetable in Field of Greens was doctor-selected for specific health benefits. Cell health, heart, lungs, kidneys, metabolism, even healthy weight. I feel great knowing Field of Greens can slow how quickly I'm aging, and I encourage you to join me. Swap your untested fruit, vegetable, or green drink for the Field of Greens while there's time. Check out the university study and get 20% off when you use the promo code TOM, T-H-O-M, at fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com, promo code TOM.
Chains on the Capitol, storm clouds in the sky, selling out the people with another crooked lie. A bribe in the shadows, a deal in the dark. The nation's on the line while they're lighting the spark. It's a shutdown scam, a pay-to-play plan. Lies on repeat from a desperate man while the rich get richer, the people get slammed. Welcome, America.
25 minutes past the hour. Welcome back. So one battle after another is what happens when art refuses to kneel. I mentioned Louise and I went to see this movie over the last weekend, and it's Leonardo DiCaprio and Sean Penn and Benicio del Toro and Regina Hall. It's just a great cast. It's a brilliant movie. And in that movie, I saw some of the people that I knew from the 60s, from when I was in SDS, some of these Weather Underground folks who were, not quite caricatured. I mean, some of the portrayals in the movie were not all that off. But, the conservatives are just hysterical. Just absolutely hysterical. The National Review published a piece titled "There Will Be Blood in One Battle After Another," that said that Anderson, the guy who did the movie, and DiCaprio and Sean Penn and all of them are romanticizing 1960s radicalism. Leo DiCaprio told Reuters magazine, told Reuters News, he said, it's not a film where people are imposing any political beliefs on anyone else. It's a satire on both ends. And it is. I mean, the film sort of in a soft, very subtle way makes fun of both the 60s radicals that I knew, and I was not part of the Weather Underground. I was just in kind of normal SDS. And the right-wing crazies, like the character that's played by Sean Penn in the movie, Mr. Sergeant Lockjaw, or whatever his rank was, Colonel Lockjaw, or, Major or something, I forget his rank. But anyhow, it's just a wild movie. And this contrast, the conservatives seeing chaos, and I think it's remarkable. And I highly recommend it. Meanwhile, J.B. Pritzker says Trump is deploying troops because of his dementia. We'll talk about that after the break, and I'll pick up your calls. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
It's your media support group for We the People. We'll be right back. With us today is co-founder of Native Path Collagen, Dr. Chad Walding. So glad to have you with us. Tell us about your company.
Well, Native Path, we're a company that is really all about aligning human health with the way it's designed to eat, move, and live. We look at the past 100 years and we see a consistent rise in disease, specifically metabolic disease. That rise has been happening despite all our advances in technology and medicine. We really recognize and appreciate the timeless principles that are really appropriate for humans and human health. And what we do as a company is we educate people on nutrition and movement and lifestyle, and we help provide supplements to help fill in the gaps of the vitamins, the nutrients, and minerals that are missing in the modern diet.
And you do this with Native Path Collagen. What exactly is collagen?
Collagen is our hero product. That's the first product we came out with. And collagen is the most abundant protein in the body, right? It's what makes up the structure of your body, your tendons, your ligaments, the things that you look at, like your hair, your skin, your nails. It even makes up your bones and your gut lining. So it's extremely important to have collagen. And it's something that our ancestors would get plenty of with the way they ate, because they would eat nose to tail. They would take the bones of an animal, they would put it in a big pot with hot water and make broth, and that's how they would get collagen. But we're not getting near enough in our modern diet, because we're so bombarded with carbohydrates and fat, and not near enough quality protein, certainly not enough collagen. And collagen is something we produce on our own, but around the age of 20, that starts to decline. Around 50, it really starts to decline. When we're deficient in collagen, it accelerates the aging process, the weakening of the structure of our body. So it becomes really important to start supplementing with it as we get older. Consuming quality protein, specifically in the form of collagen, is one of the easiest things you can do that makes the most difference in your health.
It's remarkable stuff. Dr. Chad Walding, thank you so much for dropping by today.
Awesome, Tom. Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Feel better, look younger, start your transformation today at getnativepath.com/.
The Motorcade for Trade is making its way around the country, including a stop at World Dairy Expo in Madison last week. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you on a Wednesday. Farmers for Free Trade Executive Director Brian Cool says throughout their trade tour, they've heard from farmers that they're hurting and that America is in a farm crisis. Brian says this sparks a sense of urgency to amplify farmer voices calling for open markets and reduced trade barriers.
Farmers, like most every other family in the world, wants the same thing. They want a good life for their kids. They want to be able to pass on the life to their kids that they had or better. And unfortunately, when we have a farm crisis, a lot of that's not going to happen. We are facing increasing bankruptcies and the very real prospect of having families that have been running farms for generations go out of business. And that's why we have a sense of urgency to try to raise the profile and elevate the understanding about why trade is important and the need to maintain and expand export markets in order to help the American farmer and keep those families on the land.
The Motorcade for Trade started September 5th in Nebraska. The tour will wrap up in Washington, D.C. in early November. Farmers for Free Trade expects to travel more than 2,500 miles across 14 states. Wisconsin was one of the stops last week. We'll take a look at midday commodity prices next.
Dairy pumps that were designed more than 50 years ago do not meet today's large dairy farm requirements. Bopeller pumps by McFinn Technologies were born and patented this century. With a unique and innovative design that ensures gentle, low shear pumping, along with efficient, high capacity, and long seal life. Bopeller pumps for all your applications will ensure your dairy is operating with 21st century technology. Bopeller is American innovation. Contact your dealer today.
Imagine a future where farming fuels the planet. On Thursday, October 9th at 7 p.m., join us at UW-Eau Claire's Davies Student Center Dakota Ballroom for the Imagine Lecture, Innovations in Sustainable Agriculture and Energy. Dr. Lisa Schulte Moore will show us how Midwest farmers are turning prairie grass, food waste, and manure into clean energy, building a circular bioeconomy that strengthens rural communities and protects our land. Free and open to the public, come curious and leave inspired.
Corn and soybeans are trading higher midday on a Wednesday. December corn up a half a cent at 420 and a quarter. November soybeans up 3 3/4 at 1025 and 3/4. Cash wheat is up a quarter of a cent at 507 a bushel. July 2026 new crop wheat is sitting neutral at 550 and a quarter. The November Class 3 milk contract is up 3 cents at 1692 a hundredweight. December milk is down a nickel at 1699. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
It is going to be sunny today with a high in the upper 50s to low 60s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. There could be a few spots that get a little frost, especially further north, but lows generally mid-30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 41.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dr. Kristen Lierley.
At what point are we as a society going to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, something's wrong here? This is just the latest attack on women, on trying to control our bodies. They want women to have more babies. They don't want us to have birth control. They don't want us to get abortions. They don't want us to take medications. They want us to be in pain. They don't want us to have hospitals to be able to go to. They're defunding all of our rural hospitals.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. Our podcast, The Hartman Report, is absolutely free and available wherever fine podcasts are available. And the entire three-hour podcast is available over at TomHartman.com.
This week's been a war of headlines. One battle after another. And through it all, I keep hearing that art's to blame. But it isn't. It never was.
They send troops into our neighborhoods. They kick down doors in the night. They redraw the maps of freedom and call that justice done right. But a song ain't a weapon, and a movie's not a sin. It's a truth they can't handle that keeps burning in the wind. Art is not the jail a poet, but the words still live. You can ban a story, but the truth still bleeds. Art is not the enemy. Authoritarianism. They fear the brush, the the drum, the voice that dares to rise. They call it chaos, but it's only people opening their eyes. You can take away the spotlight, but not the spark beneath the skin. Every time they try to silence us, the song begins again. Art is not the enemy. Authoritarianism is. You can raid the canvas, still resist. You can burn the record.
Welcome back. So just a final note on this, on this movie, One Battle After Another. Art is not the enemy. And history reminds us that art has always frightened the powerful. I mean, Jimmy Kimmel was doing was art, too. Uncle Tom's Cabin was banned in the South because, you know, they didn't want to confront slavery. Upton Sinclair's book, The Jungle, about the meatpacking operations in, I believe it was New York, might have been Chicago, were smeared by the industrialists for revealing the horrible conditions, you know, the consequence of raw capitalism. Protest music in the 60s, they called Bob Dylan a communist. They said he was unpatriotic. When art tells the truth, power always howls. And today that same pattern is repeating itself. The same right-wing billionaires who are funding outrage over this film, the One Battle After Another, are working to silence teachers. They want to shut up librarians. They want to rewrite history to protect privilege. They're arresting people who protest against them, whether it's standing in front of an ICE facility or whether it's the former director of the FBI or mayors of cities or members of the House of Representatives, members of Congress. They fear a nation that still feels empathy. They fear what happens when the people that they are supposed to serve start asking, hey, what the hell are you guys doing? And that's what One Battle After Another is all about. It's about confronting that power. So check it out. It's just a great movie. Speaking of confronting power, Governor J.B. Pritzker just said that Donald Trump is deploying troops to Chicago because of his dementia and obsessive fixations. One of the things we know is that Trump thinks that Portland's on fire because Fox News played B-roll when he was watching. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe Stephen Miller or the people around him have these clips of the Black Lives Matter protests in Portland 5 years ago. Now, 5 years ago, we did have three city blocks here that, you know, there was some serious conflict going on. It wasn't, the city was not on fire. It was nothing close to that, although there were some fires. But, you know, and it was a mess. It was just an absolute mess. And I was on the air saying, you know, stop. Don't, this is not the way you win the fight.
against the Trump administration or against racism or, you know, against people like George Floyd being murdered. This is not how you do it. You don't burn a city down. And in fact, the last time the Insurrection Act was put into place was in 1992 when George Herbert Walker Bush did it. Or maybe it was 93, as a result of the riots in Los Angeles, which I think were around Rodney King, if I'm remembering right. So anyhow, J.B. Pritzker, he says, this is a man who's suffering dementia. This is a man who has something stuck in his head. He can't get it out of his head. He doesn't read. He doesn't know anything that's up to date. It's just something in the recesses of his brain that's effectuating to have him call out these states. And then, unfortunately, he has the power of the military and the federal government to do his bidding. He says, but we're not going to go to war between the state of Illinois and the federal government, not taking up arms against the federal government, but we are monitoring everything they are doing, and we are using that monitoring to win in court. And then Donald Trump responds to this morning. He comes out and he says, Chicago mayor should be in jail for failing to protect ICE officers, and Governor Pritzker also. Right. So you speak out against Donald Trump, and Donald Trump says, you go to jail. Comey, James Comey, he was arraigned this morning. He pled not guilty. Mueller, she wrote, is now reporting that he's going to file selective and vindictive prosecution motions to dismiss, and he's going to challenge the legality of Lindsey Halligan, who runner-up beauty queen who Donald Trump hired to prosecute James Comey because no lawyer in the federal government was willing to do it, or at least in that office. In fact, she couldn't find a lawyer in that office, in that Virginia office to do. She had to pull somebody in from one of the Carolinas, as I recall. So maybe Comey can actually do some damage here. And did you see Pam Bondi yesterday? I mean, you know, Dean covered this, but I just want to say this was just, she was rude. She was obscene. This was a violation of the Senate's history and decorum. It's dangerous. Chuck Grassley, who was the head of that committee, should have ordered her to answer the questions of the Democrats, but he didn't. I mean, this is extraordinary, pathetic, horrible, and, you know, just a terrible spectacle. Meanwhile, as I said, Eric Swalwell says, okay, that's it. He says, Republican lawmaker, this is what he said. He says, I've spoken to a lot of House Republicans this week, and they've confided in me that Trump's support is fading. As one told me, the Epstein bomb is about to drop, and no one wants to defend a pedo protector. It's just a matter of time, which is kind of hopeful news, I suppose. So what's on your mind? Frank and Cameron there. Hey, Frank, what's up?
Hey, man. Love the show, man.
Thank you.
Just wanted to let you know, man, I think people are watching all the spectacles from Trump. And I guess I'd like to know what happens when the government runs out of money from giving money to Venezuela and the farmers and everyone else.
Well,
what's
happening right now is that air traffic controllers and TSA agents aren't being paid. And so planes are slowing down. We had 6,000 flight delays day before yesterday. And I haven't seen the numbers from yesterday, but they had to be worse. You had several airports that were, you know, badly disrupted. That's going to get a whole lot worse, and it's going to get a whole lot worse really fast because you can't run the country without air traffic controllers. And the air traffic controllers, I mean, they're the ones who stood up against Reagan in 1981, and he just fired them all. Trump is not going to do that. He can't afford to do that. If he fires all of the controllers now, he's got no plan B. And the air traffic control system now is much larger than it was in 1981. So I don't think this is going to last real long. I think the problem that the Republicans have right now is that starting in probably next week, but maybe even this week, you're going to start seeing reports in the news about people who got their insurance premium increase notice. Because, you know, the open enrollment period starts on November 1st, I believe. And so the insurance companies are notifying people of what their new insurance rates are going to be. We haven't gotten ours yet. We have Blue Cross Blue Shield for our people. We haven't gotten our update yet. But when it comes, it's going to be
it's going to be some substantial pressure on the Republicans. They are badly, badly losing this thing. So, Frank, thanks a lot for the call. And thanks for listening to us on SiriusXM. We'll be back with more of your calls in just a moment. It's 44 and a half minutes past the hour here on the Tom Hartman program, occupying the media 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, right here. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
It's the place where despair is not an option. As Adam Smith said earlier, quoting Bernie Sanders. We'll be right back. If you're a homeowner in America, you need to listen to this. The FBI has been warning about a type of real estate fraud on the rise called title theft, and your equity is their target. Here's how it works. Criminals forge your signature on a single document, use a fake notary stamp, and file it with the county. And just like that, on record, they own your home. Using your ownership, they out loans against your equity or even sell your property, and you won't know about it until foreclosure or collection notices show up in your mail. That's why I've partnered with Home Title Lock so you can protect your equity and find out today if you're already a victim. Go to HomeTitleLock.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. You get a free title history report and a free trial of their $1 million triple lock protection. 7 monitoring of your title records, urgent alerts to any changes, and if fraud occurs, their U.S.-based restoration team will spend up to $1 million to fix it. Find out why I trust Home Title Lock. Protect yourself like Louise and I did. Go to HomeTitleLock.com/Tom. That's HomeTitleLock.com/THOM.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently on a Maine ballot initiative pushing restrictions on voter ID and mail-in voting. Then mysteriously, on September 30th, 250 unmarked absentee ballots from Ellsworth, Maine showed up in an Amazon package 40 miles away. The plot thickens. Maine Secretary of State Shenna Bellows announced that both Maine authorities and the FBI were investigating. Ellsworth's town clerk received 2 boxes of mail ballots September 30th and notified the Secretary of State's Election Division that one box was missing 250 unmarked mail-in ballots and that the box's security tape had been altered. 40 miles away, a Newburgh, Maine resident reported receiving an Amazon package which included her order and the missing 250 ballots. The resident brought the ballots to the Newburgh town clerk, who notified the Elections Division at 8 a.m. October 1st. But that day, pictures of the resident's beat-up and retaped Amazon box surfaced on social media, with messages decrying Maine's election integrity. The conservative Maine Wire news blog quoted the resident as saying, "I am greatly concerned for our state and its voting requirements." GOP legislators seized on the missing ballots as proof that question one should be passed. Secretary of State Bellows remarked, "To any bad actor involved, you will be caught and you will be punished." We've linked to the local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing the program and for reaching out to our stations and sponsors and letting them know that you're listening. It really means a lot to us.
I just have to tell you about Quince. They have some of the coolest clothes. I mean, just amazing. They have the kind of fall staples you're actually going to want to wear over and over and over. Like 100% Mongolian cashmere from just $60. Classic fit denim. Real leather and wool outerwear that looks sharp and holds up. By partnering directly with ethical factories and top artisans, Quince has cut out the middleman, so they can deliver premium quality to you at half the cost of similar brands. Seriously, you've got to check this out. I have several sweaters from Quince. I love them. They're affordable. They're fashionable. They're part of my go-to wardrobe, and they've held up super well. And Quince has really become a go-to across the board. Louise has been checking out their bedding and travel accessories. So layer up this fall with pieces that feel as good as they look. Go to quince.com/Tom, T-H-O-M, for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Tom, T-H-O-M. quince.com/Tom.
So still.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the hour, picking up your calls here. Tom in Chicago. Hey, Tom, what's up?
Hey, Tom, I like the way you spell your name.
Oh, good. You too?
Yeah, same.
How about that?
Anyway,
great minds think alike.
So here's right. So here's my silly question. I'm thinking about the Supreme Court right now, and I'm also thinking about the 2026 election and whether or not that may flow one way or the other. And I'm thinking before that, what if Thomas and Alito say, "Hey, we're going to step down." And then Donnie gets to appoint two new longtime serving Supreme Court justices to keep the court conservative.
Yeah, he'll find a couple of cranks in their 30s, you know, like Amy Coney Barrett.
Right. But in my brain, it's not bad math for them to do something like that.
Right. No, I agree. I don't know how much influence he has over them. I continue to believe
really?
That Trump was able to force Anthony Kennedy to resign to put in Brett Kavanaugh because, you know, Kennedy occasionally voted with the liberals because Kennedy's son, Justin, was the guy who signed off on $1 billion worth of loans to Donald Trump through Deutsche Bank. And a lot of this is very sketchy stuff, some of which seemed to be involved with Russian money laundering, at least according to some of the reports. And so, you know, I think that he leaned, my personal opinion, and this is just my opinion, I have no evidence to back it up, is that he leaned on Kennedy to get him off the court. I don't know that he has that kind of ability with Alito and Thomas. You know, they don't have relatives who've done favors for Donald Trump in the past. So we'll see.
No, I respect that.
Yeah,
exactly.
So we'll see. I think it's going to be up to them. Yeah, good talking to you, Tom. Thanks. Thanks a lot. AJ in La Mesa, California. Hey, AJ, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Tom. Hope all's well in the bunker.
So far, so good. The flames have not yet reached us.
Yeah, be sure to tell Christy Noem hey for me when you trip over her.
Yeah. Will do.
Listening to Congressman Smith earlier was like a bucket of ice-cold water on a blazingly hot summer's day. In my humble opinion, he'd make an outstanding spokesperson for the Democrats, if not a House leader.
Yeah.
He was not merely clear and concise and articulate, but, he hit all the bullet points. He was spot on. He was... what he said was clear, concise, simple.
And he comes across authoritative. He's got a voice, a demeanor that would appeal to the authoritarians who want somebody to follow. And yet he's also a progressive. I mean, he's not pounding his fist on the table, but he's damn close. He's just saying this is the way it is.
And he's exceedingly smart, and yeah. And he speaks well, and he speaks in real time. There's
yeah.
It's right back at you.
Yeah.
And,
keep an eye on this guy. He's going to go. He's going to go places.
Yes, keep it simple, stupid. And, one of the cornerstones of pedagogy is repetition, repetition, repetition.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that the Democrats need to, you know, get a clear, concise message that's easy to understand and memorable, and just hammer it home. And just, you know, when the crud comes from the other side, what I call the vast right wing cesspool, you know, just come back, just the facts, ma'am. You know, again, clear, concise, easy to understand, and memorable. And he hit all those bullet points. And, you know, the quote I shared last week from President Eisenhower about the political party does not have as its foundation the determination to advance a cause that's right, yada, yada, yada. Right. It is merely a conspiracy to seize power.
Correct.
That would make an outstanding billboard.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah. I'm
here's
with you.
What a Republican once said, folks.
Yeah, I'm with you. AJ, I got to move along, but I agree with your analysis. Spot on as always. Thanks, AJ, for the call. Kathy in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hey, Kathy, what's on your mind today?
Oh, everything. But here's why I called.
Okay.
The discharge petition.
Mm-hmm.
It has four Republicans. Lauren Boebert is the fourth.
Did she? I thought she backed off. She did not.
She's
still on it. Oh, very cool.
I looked at it just minutes ago.
Okay.
In fact, I can get to it right this moment.
Well, thanks for the reminder, Kathy. She was not part of the original press conference, so maybe that's why it didn't stick in my brain. There's a lot going on right now.
Well, you know, there's a lot of very strange things happening with respect to this. She's still on it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the heads up. Thanks for the correction.
The other thing is, it looks like a district judge can swear in Adelita Grijalva.
Oh, interesting. So any Article III judge can do it?
Well, this is from Grok, so, you know, take it that way. But it says, yes, a U.S. federal district or circuit court judge can administer the oath. What I'd like to see, honestly, is Sonia Sotomayor or Kagan or Brown Jackson administer the oath. I would just like that.
Yeah.
But Grok says the federal judge can swear in a member elect if the state has certified the election. They don't have to do that till the 14th, if I remember correctly.
Right. My understanding is that the people in the state who certify the election are procrastinating right now.
I don't know. The Secretary of State there is a Democrat.
I know.
I don't know that they're procrastinating.
It's the local officials.
My guess is it's
only in you know, one congressional district.
Yeah, I know, but I think one of the things they want to do is get it precisely and exactly correct.
Yeah, that may be. That may be.
Yeah, they don't want anybody challenging it.
Yeah. Kathy, thanks for the call, and thanks for the information. I appreciate it. We're hitting the top of the hour here on the other side of the break. Texas cops using 83,000 license plate reading cameras to find a woman who's getting an abortion? Really?
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
How would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. That's 800-942-1325.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Heather Williams, she's president of the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee.
We have our spotlight races. We share them on our website. You can head to dlcc.org. And they are excellent places for people who want to get involved. And frankly, who know that we are not going to win this election on vibes. Like, we have to get out and do the work. And we must communicate with our neighbors, with our community. We must show up for people. Not only do they deserve it, but they expect it.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Senate failing in a sixth vote to end the shutdown. More than 750,000 government workers remain furloughed for an eighth day. Former FBI Director James Comey pleaded not guilty at his arraignment in federal court. Comey indicted on charges of lying to Congress and obstruction of justice in 2020 testimony related to the leaks in the Hillary email Clinton probe. The former prosecutor had earlier indicated there was not enough evidence to warrant charges and was replaced.
The president has been critical of Comey for a decade now. He blames him for the Russia investigation, and we know that he has put public pressure on the attorney general. Remember, it was late last month when he said to reporters, we have to act fast. If they're not guilty, that's fine. He said if they are guilty, they should be charged.
ABC's Karen Travers. In Los Angeles County, authorities announcing the arrest of a man suspected of igniting the blaze that became the Palisades firestorm that killed 12 people and destroyed thousands of homes and businesses. This is ABC News.